Be blessed. Be happy. The question is, how are we blessed? How do we lay hold of happiness? Well, Pastor Tim helps us see in this introduction to the Beatitudes. It begins in the context of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ.
Who likes to be blessed? Amen. I like to be blessed. Once we receive salvation, once we ask Jesus Christ in our lives, we just feel a different way, don't we? I know I was. I know when I made things right with the Lord on that Sunday morning over in the other building, and all the hurt and all the pain and all the sin began to flow off of me, my goodness, what a day. And I hope that you never get over being saved. I hope I never get over being saved. I hope I never get over it. Because if I ever get over being saved, then I'm in trouble. Which means I have reached a place in my walk with the Lord in either one or two things. Is that I have fallen away from Him, or I'm so self-righteous in what I believe that it makes me think I'm better than everyone else. But both of those places are bad. Both of those places are bad. But I hope you never get over being saved. Well, we say this word "bless" a whole lot. We say it when someone would sneeze. We'll go, "God, I bless you." I've been in places, and Heidi will tell you that I like to sneeze. You know, for whatever reason, I get around somebody with a perfume on or something, and I don't only sneeze once. I sneeze twice. How many of you sneeze twice or three times? Just not one. Well, all you that sneeze once, you're just weird. You know, you got to sneeze at least twice. And it's amazing. I will be anywhere, somewhere in public and sneeze, and Heidi always gets on to me and says, "Why do you have to sneeze so loud?" Well, I don't know. She said, "Would you do that if you were sitting in a pew?" I said, "Maybe. Maybe." But we would say, "I bless you," or "God, I bless you." You know, I got to thinking, I was wanting to know where that saying came from. It's very interesting where that saying came from, because we use a lot of sayings that we don't even realize where they came from, you know. I bless you, or "God, I bless you." Now, here's one of them. Every time you sneeze, you didn't know this, that an evil spirit comes out of you. That's one of the thoughts, that evil spirits. I know I've been around people that will sneeze 10 or 15 times. And I'm thinking to myself, they need to sneeze about 20 more times. And that's bad, isn't it? But it also could be where when you you heard when you sneeze, your heart stops. And that's where it originated, God in front of it. Like, "God, I bless you, because I want to live." Every time I sneeze, I go, "Lord, please, I just want to keep on living," you know? And it also could be Pope Gregory. There was a plague going along, and when someone would sneeze, he would say, "God, I bless you," and do that cross thing. You know, I say that has nothing to do with any of I'm going to preach on, and you're exactly right. But I found it very interesting. We use that word a lot. We throw it around a lot. I bless you. Well, today we begin an introduction to the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And I hope in these next few weeks that we will come to a better understanding again. I want myself, my prayer again, is that we will continue in a Christian maturity. That I will continue to grow as a Christian, as a husband, as a father, and as a pastor. Is that my desire, my prayer for you when I'm driving somewhere is, I do have you on my mind and heart. Lord, I pray that my congregation of today is having a blessed day. My hope for you is that you are maturing in Jesus Christ, that we are serving the Lord, that we're serving each other. We're serving what Paul called the outsiders, those ones that do not know Jesus Christ. And here's the thing, and I hope my prayer is, if we would take what God is telling us and what the Lord is leading us, that we will not have a critical nature about us. Is that we will continue to pour life into people. That we'll so not seize a discord, but we'll so a seize of life in individuals that we meet and when we're in the church, when we're gathered here on this day. is that we will always take the opportunity to say a good word of blessing. I want you to open your Bibles today, and we're all going to put it on the screen. I had someone to email me after I said we're not going to put it on the screen anymore. They say, you know what, I really need it on the screen. And will you put it on the screen, please? And so they convinced me. But I want you to still bring God's Word with you, okay? Whatever translation that you have, I want you to come today where we can open up God's Word. Where here's some familiar scripture if you are a Christian at all. And it says these words, when Jesus saw the other crowds, he went up to the mountain, Matthew chapter 5. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and to taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers. Aren't you happy for them? For they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed. We're going to talk a little bit about this in the next few weeks. Well, it says here at the very beginning, it says, when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. I want you to stand for a minute. Will you? Stand. Say, we got to stand? Stand for a moment. Well, I'm going to sit. Because in the first century, it was very common for the teacher to sit and the people listening to stand. So y'all get to stand for the next half hour while I preach the word. And some of you have already sat out. I'm kidding. But y'all can sit. I'm saying out of this here. Now that Jesus took his disciples up on the mountainside, and he sat down, and literally he began to open his mouth, and he began to teach. He began to teach. We really know this as the Sermon on the Mount. It's where Jesus really begins to put in his disciples what he wants them to know. It can be called the wisdom of Jesus. Because he drew away, he went away to be with his disciples and to sit down with them and begin to teach them. Begin to teach them and to train them. The Sermon on the Mount takes over several chapters here, but it talks about self-control. It talks about loving someone that doesn't like you. It talks about giving, a charity, and a prayer, and a fasting. It gives us an instruction on our money and our health. If you're dealing with anxiety, it deals with a judging. It deals with a golden rule that I will do unto others as I will have them to do unto me. And it talks about the narrow path. It talks about being careful with false teachers. And so you can see all the different array of teaching that Jesus wanted to share with his disciples, to get them to understand who he was. He was sharing his heart. He was sharing his heart. He was pouring his life into them in these moments of his teaching. You know, when he says that he had sat down and he began to open his mouth, it wasn't just something that it was just like, hey, I want y'all to come over here for a minute. I got something I want you to say. It was more like, I want you to get this. I want you to take this in. I want you to listen to me. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to take this in, and I want you to hide it in your heart. He says, I want you to know what I'm trying to say here. It wasn't something, you know, that we had to go into school. If you remember when you were in school, you would have to go into the geometry. Sat down. Oh, man. I was terrible at math. It's geometry math. That's how bad I am. I'm kidding. And that we sit and, all right, go ahead. Now, Jesus was getting their attention. He says, I'm going to take you up to a mountainside, and we're going to get along. And I'm going to spend some time with you. You know, we often think that he spoke all this in one big, you know, moment sitting together. I believe it took a pretty good while for him to really empty his heart and his soul into his other disciples. My question for us today is when's the last time we took really what Jesus has said? And we says, Lord, not to take me to a mountainside. Sit down with me and teach me. You know, we're only going to know who Jesus is. It's by this right here. We only want to know how to live life by seeing what God's Word has to reveal to us. And hopefully we will know what it means to be a Christian when we see someone. Oh, I saw that person. I see that. So that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. I remember reading about that. And I see this as a person. And man, that's who they are. And the questionnaire for you is when people take a look at your life, can they see the Scripture unfolding? Do they see the Scripture unfolding? So he was there to teach them. Well, it says here, a blessed. It's one of those hard words for me to say. So these next few weeks might go into 30 weeks. I blessed. Blessed. The simple Greek meaning would be that I'm happy. That's just a simple Greek meaning would be that. You know, we all know when we hear that word happy, it means to us it's based upon our circumstances that we're in. A lot of times I'm happy when I'm fishing. I'm happy when I'm hunting. Unless I miss that 160 buck and he runs off, then I'm very unhappy. So our happiness is an Americanized understanding of what being a blessed is that happy is contingent on my circumstances. And so we would know that there's no way that Jesus would be using this word, this Greek word, for just what we think what happy is. Because happy is here and happy is gone. You know, there's been a many times in our, I'll say this in a minute. So it cannot be based on our circumstances, because life is hard, isn't it? Life is difficult. You know, I've sat with people that their life was falling apart for whatever reason. And I could ask them right then, are you happy? They would probably take their fist and hit me side of the head. So the meaning here cannot be the happiness that we think of. It has to be something much, much deeper rooted, and that's called a Christ-like joy. Something that is rooted in Him. It's something that finds its foundation based upon Him and not our circumstances. It is something that we are blessed with His presence that roots us and grounds us. You might think that's the reason we see a lot of people in church, that they gather together and then after a while you don't see them anymore. Because the foundation, they built their foundation on something that was sinking. That was sinking. When I hear things like, it's a struggle to live for Jesus Christ. When you say those words to you, I want you to think, why is it a struggle? I doubt many of us, and I have been there when I've said those words, that we didn't ask the question, why is it? Why is it a struggle? Ever given that thought? Why isn't it why is it a struggle? What makes it a struggle? And so a lot of times we say things and we live our Christian walk, and We say these type things, but we never go beyond on why it is. And a lot of times, because we've already been bewitched into thinking that's based on I don't feel right. Just don't feel like I used to feel. Listen to this. Here's the thing. For it means that Beatitudes are not some pious hopes of what shall be. They are not a glowing, but the prophecies of some future thing or bliss. They are congratulations on what is. The blessedness which belongs to the Christian is not a blessedness which is a postponed to some future world of glory. It is a blessedness which exists here and now. It is not something into which the Christian will enter. It is something in which we have already entered. Someone should say amen to that. Amen. The world's joy collapses. Their happiness and their joy collapses in the chains of health, the loss of money, disappointments, even in the change of weather. I'm going to the lake. Oh, it's raining. Well, that don't make me happy. Never said that before. We say it. That don't even make me happy. Or we go to our favorite place to eat. My mom was mad this weekend. She went to Down South Seafood and it was closed. She came home fuming. Mad. Angry. Wait till I see Jimmy Wolf not do that to me again. No, she wasn't mad and angry. She'll get on to me if I don't get it right. But it's like fleeting as people of God. Chris, listen, we're people of God. And a restaurant, now she wasn't mad at all, okay? Make sure I made that clear. How easily. This line is right here. How easy when the satellite goes out and the University of Georgia is playing. I like to be a fly on the wall in your house. Ooh-wee, I could have some ammunition the next Sunday, I bet you. You see that the world's joy is a fickle. But it's amazing how we act. A lot of times the same way. It's based on feeling. Ever said these things to yourself? You know, I really feel good about this decision. Say amen. I really feel good about this decision. You know, this the girl I'm going to marry, I really feel good about this. One of the things in premarital counseling, one of the first things I ask is this. Why do you want to marry her? Why do you want to marry him? It's always like the deer in the headlights. Not really. Well, there has been times I'm like, oh Lord, this is going to be a long one. How many times that you just knew, I felt great about this, and when you get there, and it all falls apart. It all falls apart. Because we are basing our hopes and our dreams on a broken system. And then Jesus comes in and says, let me tell you what it means to live in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you who you are in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom. The Beatitudes speak of that joy which seeks us through our pain. That joy which sorrow and loss and pain and grief are powerless to touch. That joy which shares through tears and which nothing in life or death can take it away. My prayer and my hope is that you have that type of Christ-like joy. That I have that Christ-like joy. I can go through times in my life that you didn't seem to be very happy. There was times in my life that I would, even as a Christian, I would have to cry myself to sleep over things. And I would think to myself, why am I dealing with some of these things this way? Because it was based on feeling. Because it was based on self-esteem. It was based on self-confidence. It was based on those things that I thought, if I could just have great self-esteem, then I would do great in the kingdom. If I just have that self-confidence, you might say, Tim, you're saying we should have? Yes. But when we think those are the things that brings us and issues us into the kingdom, that's when failure comes. There's a lot of self-help out there that says a lot of things. You can listen to a lot of self-help people. A lot of other preachers fall under self-help. You can find it wherever you want to look. But it's fleeting. It is fleeting. I want a message of hope that says, no matter what your circumstances are, you're going to stand. You're going to stand. You're going to stand. Understand. Listen to me today. The Beatitudes are something that we just don't get in the future. But it's something that we are now. They're not a magic thing, if I do these, then therefore I'm blessed. Oftentimes, I've had people through the years, and I even said it too when I was young, a Christian, if there was just a step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it would make it so much easier. If I could just do these 10 things, then boom, I would have peace and happiness. Yeah. Read in the Old Testament, there's the 10 commandments. Jesus comes along and says, I fulfilled those. You look to me now. And you guess what? You'll be able to live the way I've called you to. But we want those type things. We want those steps. We feel like that if I could just read another book that gives me 10 steps, I'll have peace. There's books upon books upon books. I just think to myself, I'm happy that I'm a Christian, because when someone comes to me, I get to tell them, there's hope. You know, there's hope. You know, there's hope. When someone comes to me, I'm thankful that I don't say, well, let's just check this book out over here that gives you 10 steps to a highly effective whatever. Well, those are good in our business life, but they are. Trust me, they're even good in our personal lives. Don't get me wrong. But if you're hanging your hat on those type things, you will fail every single time. So what kind of Christ-like, do we have the Christ-like joy in our lives? Or do we have something that, in fact, my self-esteem could be just something, or my self-confidence could just be this? This teaching is about the kingdom of God. It's about entering into God's kingdom and what it means to live in God's kingdom. You have to understand. And one of the reasons that I talk about politics the way I do is that we have God's kingdom and we're living in God's kingdom. And these things are happening over here. As bad as you think they might be, praise God, I'm living in God's kingdom. It doesn't matter who's the president. It doesn't matter who is the government, the governor. I think I'm living in God's kingdom. Jesus put it this way. He says, you know, don't be of the world, but you're going to have to be in the world. In other words, I'm showing you a different way. And as we begin to take these each beatitude and begin to hopefully open them up, you will see this is against the grain. This is against the all Jewish teaching that they had really had. It was like, oh my goodness, we've never heard this before. My hope and my prayer is as we begin to take each one. I'm blessed on the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm blessed on those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I'm blessed on the meek, they will inherit the earth. I blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I bless all the merciful. They will receive mercy. I bless all the pure in heart, for they will see God. For they will see God. I mean, pure in heart. I bless all the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And I blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Who were before you. Next Sunday. Here's your homework. I blessed all the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we want to go on to Christian maturity, I'll sign this every week, that when none of us has any excuse to walk in here next Sunday, that's listening to me now, that says, well, I can't wait to find out what this means. So we can do it together. Here is Christ-like joy for me these past 2 weeks. I get a call from a Grayson and Nicole, her step-grandfather, his poor dad, says he's asking for you. So Grayson and I go over to the lake where they lived in condos, and we begin a little small talk, and I finally said, Brother Charles, there's a reason that we're here. And before I got there, he had not been really coherent at all, is my understanding. It's really not really coherent at all. But when I was there, when Grace and I were there, it's like, we began to talk about Jesus. I said, Brother Charles, he said, I worked and I really didn't go to church the way I worked. And I could tell he understood, had a little bit of understanding of what means to be saved. I said, you want to pray? He said, yes, sir. So we began to pray. After we got through praying and he invited Jesus in his life, he asked Grayson, he kind of sat back and went, I'll never forget that. Yeah, you clap for that. Good thing, Father. I'll never forget just that. He did. The weight was gone. The burden was gone. I helped preach this funeral this past week. The ginger calls me and says, my mom has moved in with me. She's asking. So I call her and go over, and mom, according to the doctors, don't have long to live. Don't know. She and I began to talk about Jesus. She began to pray, inviting Jesus into her heart. Ginger, with a little phone, recorded it all. She said, I really want to get baptized, but she can't really get around. She can't stand very long. I said, guess what? You could give me a cup of water. We're going to baptize you right here. Asked the witnesses around. Her daughter was there and son was there. I said, all I need is some witnesses. And I baptized her in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beautiful. Beautiful. Ginger just over there, just whoo. That's being blessed. Go see Billy Dixon. You pray for Brother Billy. And had another toe taken off. And doctors told him he might not have long to live. But in the midst of all this, this pain, he says, you've got to go see my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, Mr. Mountain. He's over. He's over in the Coliseum. The devil. Why am I doing this? He's over in a Coliseum. So I make my way over. He and I begin to talk. I said, "Brother Ricky, I've known him for years." He says, "Where are you with the Lord?" You know, and he's like, "Well, I've been to church," and I said, "You want to pray?" I like saying that. He said, "Yeah, I would." So we begin to pray. Oh, I love it. When they say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe in you. Come in my life." They haven't given him long to live, I don't think. The doctor said, "I'm not going to tell you. We're going to fight this thing. He might live for a long time. I don't know. He has cancer in the brain." That's being blessed. That's called living in the kingdom. You can take your houses and your land, your boats, your deer stands, your golf clubs, all that's fun, and I enjoy it all. It's nothing but utter rubbish. But when we walk and are entered into the kingdom of God, we have the Christ-like joy that says those who are, that are on the fringe are blessed. Why? Not because of the circumstances they're in, but because there is someone that lives within the kingdom. Guess what? It's going to wash your feet. And for you that come, that sit here Sunday after Sunday, I had a good friend in my office that sometimes you aggravate me because you come across that you have to care about those out there in the fringes more than you care about us. I said, "You're right. I don't like y'all." How can I say that? But if you come every Sunday, you're blessed. Why? Not because of circumstances that you're in, but because of the joy life, the joy, Christ-like joy of the Lord living within you, that you can take to someone else and says, "Let me tell you about my kingdom that I live in." That's my hope and that's my prayer. These next few weeks, come prepared. Come read up. Did I say that right? Joy, did I say that right? Come read up. Take your word each week. Read all of them. And this is my prayer. Lord, let me realize who I am in you. How wonderful it is to live in your kingdom. How great it is to live in your kingdom. My world might fall apart tomorrow, but how blessed that I am. That's my hope and my prayer for you. I want you to stand.
We're often faced with circumstances and situations that certainly don't bless us and certainly don't make us happy. This week, as you reflect on what truth that God has revealed to us through His Word about what it is to be blessed, what it is to be happy in the context of His kingdom, put it into practice, no matter the circumstance, no matter the challenge. Thank you for joining us. Have a great week.